Welcome to this week's edition of Imagine Sundance, opening a window on the alpine setting of Sundance Mountain Resort, established in 1969 by Robert Redford. Each podcast focuses on a particular feature or member of the Sundance family to help travelers like you make better informed decisions when it comes to where to go and what to do, be it for business or pleasure. Hosted by General Manager Chad Linebaugh, these one-on-one interviews will enlighten the novice as well as seasoned traveler. Be sure to tune in to Imagine Sundance on iTunes Podcasts. Listening to Imagine Sundance will help you better understand what makes Sundance Mountain Resort unique from all other North American mountain resorts. Before long, you'll begin to imagine yourself at Sundance. And now here is Chad Linebaugh, General Manager of Sundance Mountain Resort and host of Imagine Sundance.
Hi, I'm Chad Linebaugh, General Manager here at Sundance Mountain Resort, located in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah. Today, we're going to be riding in one of our snowcats with Jerry Hill, who's been working here at Sundance for over 50 years. We're going to be taking you up on the slopes right as the sun is setting and literally going right on the edge of these amazing mountain peaks. But don't worry, we're with Jerry Hill, and this guy knows this mountain like no other person. Like I said, he's been working here since 1958. If I'm going to trust anybody on this mountain, it's going to be Jerry Hill. I'm heading over to the mountain shop right now where we keep these high-tech vehicles and where Jerry's just finishing up fueling up the snowcat. I think the experience we're going to give these listeners today is something they'll never have again. There he is now. Hey, Jerry, how are you today?
Good, Chad.
I'm so excited to go up on the mountain with you today.
Hop up on the tracks and get in the cab and let's fire this beast up and go grooming.
Great. I am really excited. I'm excited for our listeners to have this experience in the snowcat. I'm also really excited for them to hear more from you. You're a legend of this place, Jerry. You've been here for 55 years. That's probably hard to believe that you've been here that long. I would love for our listeners to hear a little bit more about what brought you here back in 1958 when you were a 14-year-old young man.
My family was friends with the Stewarts that owned it before Bob Redford bought it, and we used to come up here and play and ski, and it just started to work when I was 14, shoveling snow, and it just evolved into where it is today.
Did you have any idea back then that you would work here for 55, hopefully 65, 75 years?
I didn't even think I'd live till I was 55. No.
Well, it's, you know, as you know, I've worked here for 20 years, and it's been amazing just to think of, you know, all these years that go on. And as I've said to you before, I hope you work here forever. That's our goal, because you are the mountain man of Sundance. But let's talk about, you know, you said you started here and you were shoveling snow. I'm sure you did a lot of different things back in the early days. But specifically today, one of your main responsibilities is to oversee our crew that grooms this mountain and makes the snow product what it is. And I'm sure that over these 55 years, the technology of the snowcats, the grooming technology has really changed. Maybe you could share with our listeners kind of the evolution you've seen of snow grooming and the machinery that's used for that.
Yeah, 55 years ago, there wasn't any grooming. You skied, what was there is what you skied. Eventually, some companies started making snowcats for transportation. They would, and the ski industry got into them and started buying them and using them just to pack their snow, drive up and down. No grooming, just packing the snow. It was left real rough behind there. And then we started dragging chain link fences behind it to try to smooth it out, which helped a little bit. And then the snowcat companies evolved and started putting blades on it where we could actually cut the bumps down and spread the snow out with a simple drag behind that. Then it went to fancier blades that you can do about 12 or 14 functions with the blades, to the tiller on the back that actually grinds and pulverates the snow.
Right.
And then we started putting these little groove things on to put the corduroy on that everybody wants to ski on nowadays.
Well, you know, I love powder skiing, but to be honest, skiing on that groomed corduroy, like you said, is now my favorite, thanks to the work that you and your team do. So it sounds like they've really evolved over the years. These are big machines. I mean, I'm looking at this thing, and this is a big piece of equipment. I would imagine for you, I mean, I know that for you and your crew, the night starts usually around 4 o'clock, that they start heading out after the mountain's closed. you know, it's night, it's dark, it's got to be terrifying at times. Kind of tell us, what is it like from your perspective to drive one of these things on a blizzard night, visibility's low, you know the mountain well, but there's got to be some intimidating factors that go along with this.
Yeah, you hit on the key thing of the scariest part of the job is driving in those whiteout conditions, the blowing and drifting snow, not knowing where you are. You can get vertigo, you don't even know whether you're going up or down in them, but they're really a safe, sound machine.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't realize that on the steeper terrain, you're actually using a winch system because the terrain is so steep. Maybe you could explain a little bit about how the winch system works.
It's one snowcat that has a big winch on the back with about 3,000 feet of cable on it that we hook to an anchor that will keep you in control going down these steep hills and then assist you and pull you back up them. They're so powerful you can actually pull snow back uphill with them.
I remember a few years ago I was fortunate enough to ride with you down Bishop's Bowl and back up with that winch system, and it was an amazing experience. You know, I'm thinking, like I'd mentioned, usually your team goes out in the evening, sometimes it's early morning. I would like to hear from you what it's like to experience that. You're the first one on the mountain, the last one on the mountain. Maybe you could just kind of help us visually understand what that experience is as the sun sets, as the sun rises.
Well, when my guys first get there and head out on the mountain, what they see is a mountain that's a mess from all the day skiing. There's ruts, there's bumps, there's moguls here and there. And when they leave in the morning, they see corduroy everywhere, straight line corduroy. The bumps and ruts are smoothed out. But you did hit on a key point. The sunrise and sunset's what really makes it worth it.
That's great. Maybe the question I'm most excited to ask you, I mean, you've skied this mountain, you know this mountain, I would say, better than anybody. If you have a powder day, if you have a perfect ski day, where are you going to go ski, Jerry Hill?
Well, that's a hard question. I got to stick with my namesake, I guess, and say Hill's Headwall, but that, after that, it's probably Bishop's and then Grizzly Bowl.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, a lot of our listeners might not realize that there is a run on our mountain named Hill's Headwall after you. I've never asked this, but how did that become your run? Was that your favorite run and that's why your name was put on that? Or is there some story there?
No, I don't think there's a story there. Mr. Redford just gave it to me, so I appreciate it.
It's quite an honor. And that's one of my favorite runs, too. It's one of those runs where on a powder day, you can always get fresh turns over there. Well, that's great to know that that's your favorite run. I guess it's appropriate if it's named after you, right?
Right.
Jerry, I'm wondering about the routine of for you and your crew. Maybe you could kind of walk us through from start to finish on a typical, you know, evening or early morning when you're going out to groom these slopes.
My guys usually arrive around 4. We have a sharp meeting and make assignments and discuss any special grooming that has to be done that evening. They check out their snowcats, they fire them up and warm them up, and as soon as the skiers are off, they head up on the mountain, and they usually try to go do the specialty work first, moving man-made snow, moving some snow guns, and then they go to grooming. They'll groom what's been assigned for them that night.
I'm wondering if, you know, I know this was a few years ago, but think back to that first time you climbed into a snowcat and you were told, okay, Jerry, go groom this. You know, I'm sure that didn't happen in 1958. As you said, there weren't even, you know, groomer cats back then. But whatever year that was, the first time you climbed in one of these machines to go and groom, what was that feeling you had?
That I had control of a big, powerful machine that would climb almost anything in 2 feet of snow.
Every man's dream right there.
Yeah, every man's dream. They'll climb up hills that four-wheel drive trucks have a hard time going up on dirt in 2 feet of snow.
It's incredible.
Amazing machines.
Yeah, they really are.
Yep.
Jerry, if you think about these machines and everything they can do, maybe you could help our listeners understand just a little bit more about their abilities. Where can they go? How steep of terrain, you know, can you be going up and down and so forth?
They're very high-tech machines. They have less ground pressure than a human walking on the snow. So they float on top of the snow really well. They're able to, in soft snow, probably a 30-degree slope, they can climb real comfortable. Hard-packed snow, they can probably go up 40 to 45-degree slope.
Wow.
They're amazing. They'll stay in control coming downhill. Great machines.
And you've got a heater in here, right? You get to stay warm.
They got a super duper heater.
That's important.
I'll drive you right out of them.
I've heard you say that we have some of the best groomers in the state. You know, the crew that we have working for us right now, and I believe that too. We've had so many compliments about just the quality of our groomed runs. I know we have a great team that you've developed and you've trained. What do you think makes our snow groomers different from others?
They take pride in their work. They've evolved into snowcat operators and not just snowcat drivers. A big difference. Anybody can drive a snowcat. They're fairly easy to operate them and get production out of them. It takes a lot of skill, and my guys are real skilled at what they do.
Well, I think that shows. I've talked to your team, and you can tell they take a lot of pride in it, and that shows. Jerry, another part of your team's focus is on our snowmaking, which has become so important over these last many seasons. And I'm curious, you know, I think a lot of our listeners don't understand how important snowmaking is, how it operates, and so forth. And in our case, we typically use snowmaking to guarantee that opening date, and then we get all the natural snow that's wonderful. But maybe tell our listeners a little bit about snowmaking, how it works.
Well, in late October, we place our guns out on the mountain and wait for the first cold night. We usually have to hit about 25 or colder before the snow guns will be productive. First night we hit, we start making snow and getting prepared for the opening. We focus on our beginner runs first, then we move over to our intermediate runs. Since we've had snowmaking, we've been able to hit our opening date every year since we've had snowmaking.
That's impressive. Now, this crew that's doing the snowmaking, they're out there through the night. It's cold, it's wet, these snow guns are heavy. This is a tough job.
It's a real tough job, a real demanding job. There's no heaters on those snow guns to keep you warm. We're working with 480 volts and water on sub-zero degree nights. It's a different bunch of employees that want to do that.
It's incredible. We appreciate those efforts.
Yeah.
Jerry, I'm curious, again, you know, you're on the mountain, you've got steep terrain, you're in a big machine. What are some of the hazards that you've come across in this position?
Yeah, that's a funny question. I would say one of the hazards is just climbing on those tracks. They're icy and slick.
Right.
They're a little dangerous getting in and out. The next biggest hazard we probably have is driving in those whiteout conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Total whiteout, you can drive off a catwalk. The snowcats are fairly safe. If you stay in them, you're probably not going to get hurt.
So what's the most wild ride you've had?
Well, before we had the winch cats, we used to have to free groom these steep runs. And there's a nickname of a run up there called Scary Jerry that I used to drop down without a winch on me and slide all the way down it. Of course, the grooming product behind us wasn't worth skiing, but...
So now I think people will be curious. This is an unofficially named run. Where is Scary Jerry?
I would say probably Gate 3 on Bishops.
I've got to go ski this now.
Yeah.
What a great name, Scary Jerry. So Jerry, you've worked here 55 years. That's a long time. I am curious if you put yourself back 30 or 40 years ago, how did it surprise you? Is it, here 55 years later, is it similar to what you thought it would be? Is it bigger? Is it smaller? Is it different? What's happened over these 55 years?
It's really hard to look back 55 years and see where it is today, but looking at it now, you can see that we progressed on a slow, steady pace. It's been done right. We haven't overexpanded. It's a great area to ski in.
So in some ways, what's great is it still feels and looks very similar today as it did 55 years ago. And that's a great thing, isn't it?
Very much. The mountain hasn't changed that much in 55 years.
And again, I think because of the Redford family and their commitment to this canyon, that's always been their intention and always will be.
Yep.
You know, Jerry, I'm happy to hear you say that. In my 20 years here, I feel the same way. I mean, you look at what's happening out there in the resort market, and there's, mergers, acquisitions, big developments. I love the fact that here at Sundance, we are family-owned, we're family-operated, and it feels different. And I'm excited that we embrace that. And I think that only allows us to become even more special and different in the future, too. 55 years of being here, you have a lot of stories. You've seen a lot of things happen. But tell me, what's the most interesting day or situation or your favorite day you've had here at Sundance?
Been a lot of favorite days. My favorite ski day is we had about 18 inches, 2 feet of new snow. It turned into a bluebird morning. We wasn't able to get the lift flathead open on time. It was getting around 11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun was up bright, and we was holding everybody from getting in it, and they let me dive in first. Joe Nyman was right with me, and I skied down that all by myself. It was just fantastic. The sun was in the back. I could see the shadow of my plume kicking up around me. It was a great run.
By the way you describe this, I can tell it's in your mind forever. How many years ago was that?
Early 80s.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
But it was a moment in time you'll never forget.
Never forget that run.
Well, hopefully most of our guests have that experience. I know I certainly have, but that's an amazing experience that you had. Well, Jerry, this has been a real treat for me. I love spending time with you, especially on the mountain. I just really want to thank you. I think if you look at the history of Sundance, I don't think anybody's done more to shape this mountain the way it is than you have, and we all appreciate that. You've really helped make this mountain what it is, and tonight, look at this. I mean, here as we turn around the snowcat, we look down this run here, looking down Amy's Ridge. I cannot wait to get out and ski that corduroy. How about you, Jerry?
Let's park the snowcat and go skiing, Chad.
You're on. Let's go. Thanks so much, Jerry.
Thank you.
You bet.
You've been listening to Imagine Sundance with Chad Linebaugh, General Manager of Sundance Mountain Resort. Join us again next time for another discussion on the unique features of one of America's most cherished mountain resorts. For more information on skiing, lodging, dining, living life at Sundance, call 855-420-9033. Email us at resop@sundance-utah.com. Like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Sundance Resort, or join our Twitter conversations at Sundance Resort. You can pin us or follow us at www.pinterest.com/Sundance Resort/. Mention this podcast by name and you will receive a special promotional offer just for listening. Until next time, be sure to imagine Sundance. And remember, Sundance is the perfect place to create your story.